we do our social media update at this time every Tuesday. And with Election Day around the corner, all the social media networks are kicking things into high gear. And here to talk about that and other social media news, social media strategist Scott Kleinberg on the Team Hochberg phone line. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing well, Bob. How are you?
Oh, about 80% actually today. Let's start with Facebook this morning. We've been talking in recent weeks about how it's been blasted over misinformation. Are they doing anything new now that we're getting deep into the election season?
Well, there's some stuff that's new, but it's mostly a continuation of previous practices, Bob. Facebook is still adding labels to posts that it deems to be misinformation. Things like posts that suggest that voting puts you at higher risk for contracting COVID-19, or anything claiming, you know, that one side wins before all the votes are tallied, things like that.
And are they also not going to accept any new ads? Is it the week before the election?
Yeah. And that part is actually new. It's not anything that I think is going to move the needle, though. No new ads in the 7 days before the election, as you said, but all ads placed before that can stay up. And here's a key thing. Facebook still will not fact check political ads. So basically what you have is a campaign places an ad, usually a false ad. Ad gets huge traffic, and then there's shares, and then Facebook finally sees a problem. They add one of those links telling people that there could be a problem, and then round and round we go. We're right back to where we started.
That example you mentioned of voting putting you in danger of getting the virus, I mean, did that really go around? Did a lot of people see that? that just happened, right?
It did. They did. It was last week or just the week before. Trump posted it, and it remained up for a good amount of time until Facebook put a label on it explaining that it was false and giving a link to that election center where you should go for more updated information.
So those links, in theory, are supposed to help, and Facebook obviously thinks it will because they keep mentioning them. But it sounds like they may not be helping that much. What do you think?
I would call it barely helpful. Facebook may not be great at stopping the spread of misinformation, but I'll tell you one thing. It's good at one thing in particular. It likes to announce these steps in a way where it sounds like they're super important and super useful, but there's no substance to them whatsoever. Because at the end of the day, adding a link hours or days after a post goes viral is ultimately useless because the damage is already done.
We've all seen people saying that there is still no real way for users to report something awry on COVID to Facebook. Is that true?
It is. Even now, if you report a post, there's a list of things you can report. There's spam, there's violence, there's harassment. There is a section on misleading information about voting, but there's nothing at all about false COVID info. So even when you actually do get to the right area to report something, I would say 99 times out of 100, you get a message back saying that the post didn't violate any rules. Now, the sad truth is it does violate the rules, but the team responsible for making these decisions is too small and too overworked.
Any news from the other networks on the election front, from Twitter or LinkedIn or anybody?
No, nothing new. Twitter has still been upping the use of their links to direct people away from misinformation. They've limited tweets and a reach of a tweet when it deems that it's necessary to stop the spread of misinformation. They've even remove some of the tweets, but it remains to be seen if anything else will happen where they'll take it up a notch or if they'll continue what they're doing.
Talking with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg. And Scott, I wanted to talk to you about this informational chart that looks at how long it takes to crack a password, how a 4-character password can basically be cracked instantly, but a well-thought-out password could actually take trillions of years to crack. So it sounds like the solution to password hacking is, for the most part, right under our noses.
Well, you know, it is and it isn't. It's complicated. The basic issues are very cut and dry. A four-character password can be guessed quickly because there really aren't that many combinations. But the longer and more complex a password is, the longer it takes to crack.
So the problem here is one person's definition is different from another's when you're talking about a complex or well thought out password, right?
Bob, that's a huge part of it. Companies that specialize in security have been keeping track of the most popular passwords for years. So before we get into what they are, think about this for a second. The only reason they can track this stuff is because people's passwords are so bad, it makes it easy for them to do. But these, like this, here's an example. These are some of the most popular passwords in 2019. The word password, 1111111, 123456. There's others on the list from 2017 to 2019. The word baseball, welcome, princess, football. I mean, I don't know anything about hacking other than helping people prevent it. But if this is what I do for a living and this is what I have to work with, then my day's over before lunch. There's nothing to do.
But beyond the length and type, there are other factors at play, right?
I mean, definitely, sure. Key among those is time. As technology gets better, so does the ability to circumvent it. I read something the other day that said that a password that took 3 years to crack in 2000 took about 2 months by 2016.
When we get the notice at work that the password is expiring and you have to change it, we're always annoyed by that. But we need to do that, don't we?
Well, even that's a little bit complicated. It sounds like you should, right? But let's break it down. If your idea of a secure password is baseball123, then yeah, you should change your password every day. If you have a password type on this chart, though, say, like it says, 18 characters with upper and lower case letters and numbers and symbols, it would take 7 quadrillion years to hack. Now, I know in your spare time, Bob, that you're a math genius, but do you know what a quadrillion is? I actually had to check what a quadrillion is. It's 1,000,000,000,000,000. So to answer your question, if you have a password that would take you 7 quadrillion years to crack, don't ever change it. It's perfect and it's safe.
Hey, in high school, I had my problems with Algebra 1. people, though, have trouble remembering passwords, and I know there are ways to kind of keep them safe, but that is an issue, isn't it?
Yeah. But actually, truly, that shouldn't matter. Let your computer or let your phone store it safely. Use a password manager where you have one secure password acting as an umbrella password for every password underneath it. Or create an Excel spreadsheet with all your passwords and lock it. If you're really, really old school, write them and store them in a safe deposit box, because your list of passwords is just as important as any document you have, like a will. And at the end of the day, my question is, if it's so important, why would you be okay with your password being baseball or 123456?
Yeah, we should know better than that now. Safe to say that people are not going to stop trying to get our passwords?
Yeah, that's true. Professionals use these things called brute force attacks, where they do various combinations submitted rapidly until they find the right one. If your password isn't secure, you should be worried, because the list of passwords that they use for these attacks are the same ones that I Googled to tell you about 123456. There's this thing called a dictionary attack, Bob, where a hacker actually enters every word in the dictionary using this brute force technique. So it's one word after another after another. So for all of you who think that baseball and football is a secure password, that's a problem, because those words are in the dictionary. There's these things called social engineering. That's where they forego technology totally and they rely on human error and psychology. That big Twitter hack that happened a few months ago, that's what happened there. People actually got in the know with some of these people and used psychology to get information out of them. They got their confidential information. And then there's another big one that's really important to talk about, and that's phishing. That's those emails that look like they came from someone important, but they're actually just ploys to get you to enter your password. So things like you've won a free trip, or you've won a gift card, or you won the lottery. Or on Facebook, the equivalent is where they get you to play those games because a hacker wants you to type in the name of your dog or the street where you grew up, because those are the security questions that companies ask. So there's all a psychological thing behind it.
Hackers will enter every word in the dictionary? Are you kidding me? Who are these people, and why are they doing this?
Well, in that case, the dictionary thing, Bob, they're using automated systems. So they start with the first word, and they go to the last word and until they get it, and they use multiple computers. I mean, it's a whole amazing enterprise.
Yeah, don't they have something else to do? So if it's not one thing, it's another. If you create a strong password, that's great, but phishing, social engineering, any of that stuff could get you, right?
That's true, Bob, and that's what people are counting on. But if you use a strong password, you use common sense, you are already so far ahead of the game. A hacker is happy to invest a little bit of time into someone who uses baseball as a password, but someone who uses one that would take 7 quadrillion years to crack is going to be skipped right over.
Well, I guess I need to change that Bob1234 password, don't I?
Yeah, mine's Bob12345, so I mean, we're really close. Yeah. There. You know?
Well, you know more than I do. that's really great information that everybody can use. Thank you so much. Scott Kleinberg, social media strategist. We'll check in with you again next Tuesday morning. Scott, have a good day.
You too, Bob. Thanks a lot.
I wasn't going to mention this to Scott Kleinberg because I figured he'd make fun of me, but you know how I store my passwords? I know Scott suggests you use one of those features in your phone, but I have a secret file at home. I shouldn't even be saying this on the radio, but I have a folder at home, and I put all my passwords in the folder in a file I have at home. And you know what? I've labeled the folder. This is very secret, just between you and me. Do you remember the old TV quiz show Password?
Mm-hmm.
I wrote on the label of the folder, so nobody can figure out what it is in there. I wrote Alan Ludden on the folder file. You get it? See? There's no off position to the genius switch.